2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer. And best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to the number 4, patriots.com/verdict to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included for free. Go right now to the number 4, patriots.com/verdict.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
I'd like to take a moment and have a real heart-to-heart with you. If you're able right now, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? That's your heartbeat telling you that you're alive. It's the same for a preborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks, it's already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. And that's why we've partnered with Preborn, because we need to help these precious babies. Every day, Preborn's networks of clinics rescue 200 babies from abortion. When a mother with an unplanned pregnancy meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine encounter. That doubles a baby's chances at life. And by 6 weeks, the eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her own thumb. And for just $28, you could be the difference between life or death of a child. All gifts are tax deductible, and I want you to donate. All you have to do is just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby. You can also donate securely at preborn.com/verdict. That's preborn.com/verdict or #250 and say the keyword baby. Welcome. It is Verdict with Ted Cruz and the Weekend Review. Ben Ferguson with you. And these are the stories that you may have missed that we talked about earlier this week. Let's start off with what's happening in Michigan. In a shocking move, Democrats are looking to buy votes by giving homeowners cash, thousands and thousands of dollars a year, if they will house illegal immigrants. How is this legal? We're going to break that down for you. Plus, Mexico's president decides to come out and do a sit-down interview with 60 Minutes. What he said was pretty clear. You gotta, well, bribe him, and then he might help you stop the flow of illegal drugs and illegal immigrants coming across the border. But if you don't give him billions of dollars every single year, he says the problem is going to continue, and Americans will die. And finally, you may have seen the world get rocked when a Democratic mayor switched the Republican Party in a major city in America. So why did he do it? We're going to have the story of Eric Johnson, the mayor of Dallas. It is Verdict Weekend Review, and it starts right now. There's new poll numbers out over the weekend that show that Donald Trump, who lost Michigan to Joe Biden the last election, he won it in 16. Trump now tops Biden by 8 points in a Michigan poll. That is significant. The president's approval rating in Michigan is at 35%. So what is Michigan doing? I guess it's time to buy votes. They're now offering homeowners a $500 a month stipend if they'll welcome what they describe as newcomers. What that is an illegal immigrant into their home. And the state of Michigan will subsidize you $500 a citizen a month up to a year. So basically $6,000 is what they're willing to give you to house someone now.
Well, that's right. The program that Michigan has rolled out, it's called the Newcomer Rental Subsidy, and it's designed to provide shelter outside of state shelters for so-called refugees. And refugees is simply the term they use for illegal aliens. It lasts for up to a year. And according to Michigan, Those eligible include refugees, asylees, special immigration visa holders, victims of human trafficking, Cuban entrants, Haitian entrants, Afghan nationals, and Ukrainian humanitarian parolees. So get this, the state of Michigan is quite literally paying individuals, paying homeowners, to house illegal immigrants in their house. And by the way, it's not just them. Others who qualify include individuals who arrived under the family reunification parole process for El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Colombia. Who in Michigan? What Michigan taxpayer says, you know what I really want? I want my taxes going to paying my neighbor to put an illegal immigrant that Joe Biden led into this country into his house. And we'll send him $500 a month to keep the illegal immigrant there. That is how nutty today's Democrat Party is on this issue.
Well, and my question is, and I'm not joking when I say this, is this not a form of just buying votes? If you're talking each person is now worth $6,000 to a Michigan homeowner to house them, and I don't know if there's a cap that you can only have one or maybe you have two. What if it's a family? I'm assuming we're not going to break up the family. So is if you have a family of four and you house them, are we now talking that they're worth $24,000 to your bottom line? How is that not the Democratic Party basically buying votes saying, hey, you better keep us in office. You better vote for us because we're worth $24,000 a year to you right now.
Well, and look, I'll read you a quote from Amy Hovey, who is the executive director of the Michigan State Housing Development Authority, who said the program would help migrants, quote, build a new life here. And she said, quote, this program is truly a win-win as it addresses the most pressing barrier to refugee resettlement by meeting housing needs while setting up families for success with increased employment and opportunities. That's the position of the Democrat Party. You too can have an illegal alien in your house.
Do they care about the cost of housing going up? I mean, is that a conversation you guys have in D.C.? Is that a question that anyone asks of the Democrats? When you have this many illegal immigrants coming into America, and I'll go back to what you were talking about at the very beginning, and these votes, it's not just the 320,000 illegal immigrants that we have flown into this country at the taxpayers' dollars paying for these charter flights. But if you look at how many illegal immigrants have come across the southern border since Joe Biden was sworn in, it's at least at minimum 7.2 million illegal immigrants that have entered the U.S. under the Biden administration, which is greater than the population of 36 individual states in America. And now we see housing cost issues, rent cost issues, and we see inflationary issues, and we see that we're seeing wages that are being undermined by illegal immigrants. If Michigan does this and other states go along with it, which other states are as well, they're saying the same thing. House an illegal immigrant, we'll give you cash. Is that not the definition of undermining hardworking American families who are just struggling to survive?
Well, look, you got to understand the modern Democrat view is they can spend unlimited money, trillions of dollars. They can print unlimited money. And if they want more, they'll just tax the hell out of you. And it's a giant Ponzi scheme where they print money, they raise taxes, they spend more money. Inflation goes up, so they print more money. And when it comes to if the voters don't like it, don't worry, they'll change the composition of the voters. They'll let 10.4 million people into this country illegally. Those guys, the Democrats are confident, will vote Democrat, and so they stay in power. That is, you know, there used to be a time when you could have a common sense discussion. There are no longer any Democrats in Washington and Congress who engage in common sense. I mean, look, we saw these votes. Every single one of them lined up over and over and over again. Illegal immigrant who beat up a cop? Nope, don't deport him. Tell me what world does a sane or rational person believe that, and yet every Senate Democrat, that's their view.
Last question on this. When they vote lockstep like that, is that pre-planned with a conversation they have behind closed doors and they say, hey, no matter what they throw at you, no matter how sane it is, you do not agree with Republicans on anything, full stop?
It's why it took all night. They knew what we were going to have votes on. We had put forward these are the amendments we want votes on. And we spent the entire day Friday just doing nothing because Schumer was talking to his Democrats saying, okay, here are the votes. We need every Democrat to stand, lock arms, and just vote against all of them. And he had...
All right, hold on. Walk me through Friday, that day, because people don't understand, I think, how dysfunctional Schumer can make things when they're trying to get things done like this. So you guys wake up Friday. You know you had to stay over another day.
Well, we didn't. We actually thought we would be done Friday afternoon. In a normal world, we would have been. We stayed there the whole night.
So tell me, like, you guys wake up Friday morning. Do you have a vote schedule yet? And then he changed it, or did he just say, hey, wake up and stand by until I tell you when you get to vote?
Yeah, it's much more the latter. And the way the Senate works, it's a strange place. So the majority leader only has one real power under the rules, and it's what's called priority of recognition, which means he is recognized first if he's on the floor. And he uses that to control the Senate calendar, to fill the pending business with whatever he wants so that no one else can put anything else on the Senate calendar. So you spend a lot of time just sitting around waiting. It's a very weird thing. I'll tell you, when I was, new in the Senate and I'd be a typical Senate week, you will fly to D.C. Monday mornings and you'll fly home Thursday nights. And then typically I'm home in Houston Thursday nights. Friday, I travel somewhere around Texas. Sometimes Saturday, I travel around Texas. I try to spend Sundays home with the family, and then Monday morning, I fly back to D.C. That's the usual rhythm of things. But on Thursdays, I would call home back when Republicans had the majority. I would call home, and my daughters would ask, well, are you coming home tonight? And I'd say, I don't know. It depends what Mitch schedules, when he schedules votes, and we have no idea. My daughters used to say, is that mean man going to let you come home? And by that mean man, they meant Mitch McConnell, because you literally have no control over your schedule. It is utterly incoherent. So Friday, we spent all day. We were waiting to see if a deal would be reached. And throughout the afternoon and evening, it looked like there was going to be no deal. At midnight Friday night, funding for the federal government was set to expire, and we were going to have a shutdown. So as the evening went on, I was on the Senate floor for a while. It looked like there was no deal. I went and with some senators, grabbed some food, watched some basketball. And actually, I had gone home. I changed out of my suit, was getting ready to go to bed. And then after 11 p.m., I got the note, nope, we're getting ready to vote. And we began voting at 11:56 p.m. So I had to get dressed again, head back to the Capitol. Everyone did. And we voted from 11:56 p.m. until 2:03 a.m. is when it was over. But that's just kind of how hectic things are.
Senator, lastly, this story broke. It's not being covered, of course, by the media, because why would they want to tell you about this? But apparently now the Biden administration has decided we don't want to offend extremists, jihadist extremists, and they want to change the way you talk about actual terrorists.
Well, that's exactly right. This is a story that the Daily Wire broke, and it's a memo that was sent by the diversity, equity, and inclusion officials at the Biden administration's top intelligence agency. And it warns personnel not to use, quote, problematic phrases when discussing Islamic terrorism and foreign adversaries such as China. The unclassified newsletter, and it's from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, is called, quote, The Dive. And it was obtained through Freedom of Information Act request by the Daily Wire. It argues in its cover story that the intelligence community needs to focus on, quote, changing terminology related to counterterrorism because, quote, words matter. Here's more. Quote, the article is about one of our goals, disentangling Islam from words and phrases used to discuss terrorism and extreme violence. It goes on to declare that trying to remove, quote, certain phrases to identify international terrorism threats that are hurtful to Muslim Americans. Some of the problematic phrases include, but are not limited to, Salafi jihadist, Islamic extremist, Sunni Shia extremism, and radical Islamist.
Only in America could you have a memo that someone took this much time and waste this time under the Biden administration to make people that are directly associated with terrorism feel better about, I guess, what, not being a terrorist?
Well, and sadly, this is continuing the path of putting politics above national security that we saw when Barack Obama was president. When Barack Obama was president, I actually chaired a hearing that examined the purge that the Obama White House insisted DHS do to remove from their records any reference to radical Islamic terrorism or Islam or Muslim or jihadist. And they erased over 800 times. They erased those words from their records. And by the way, the word purge, that's not me adding that word to it. That was the word that was used by the political official in the Obama White House in the instructions to DHS. Purge your files. Well, these same radicals are now running Biden's intelligence agencies. And this article is part of a newsletter that is created by ODNI, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, Intelligence Community Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and Accessibility Office. And it was sent to personnel throughout the intelligence community, which includes the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, the DHS, and the Department of Justice. All of them are being told the fact that Palestinian Islamic Jihad was one of the two terrorist groups that carried out October 7th. October 7th was carried out by Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Apparently, that is an inconvenient fact to the language commissars who, I presume, want to edit out the word Islamic from the name of the terrorist group, Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Look, they're not murdering Jews because they dislike their hairstyle. They are murdering Jews because they have a perverted view of radical Islam that mandates jihad. And countering jihadism, countering the radical religious extremism behind it, it is only possible if you acknowledge it exists. And so on one level, you say, okay, this sort of language, political correctness stuff, it's silly. But in this instance, it's much worse than silly. It is dangerous, because if the intelligence community has no idea, refuses to acknowledge what is actually happening, it means they will be utterly ineffective in fighting against it and keeping Americans and our allies safe.
Yeah, and this is one of those moments when you say, what are they focusing their time on right now? Is it political correctness, or is it actually keeping us safe from actual jihadist terrorists that they're afraid of offending by using the name? It reminds me a lot of the president saying that the individual that killed an innocent young girl in Georgia was an illegal immigrant, and then apologized to the illegal immigrants for calling that individual, who is the alleged murderer, an illegal immigrant. It's like, what are you focusing on? What is important to you? Protecting innocent people, protecting people from terrorist attacks, or is it this PC wokeness? Is that matter more you than actually fighting the bad guys?
Well, unfortunately, based on things like their late night votes, where every Democrat voted against the American citizens, voted in favor of illegal aliens, voted in favor of sending billions of dollars to Iran, it's not difficult to figure out where their priorities lie right now.
Now, if you want to hear the rest of this conversation, you can go back and listen to the full podcast from earlier this week. 2/3 of Americans are at risk of experiencing a blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. Folks say this new solar generator from Four Patriots is worth its weight in gold. Why? Because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer, or other devices like your electric blanket, your microwave, your RV, air conditioner, or even an electric wheelchair. You also get 12 outlets, including 4 AC outlets, so you can power more devices at once, and 2 USB-C outlets, which can charge your phone 20 times faster than a regular plug. Best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to the number 4, patriots.com/verdict to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included for free. Go right now to the number 4, patriots.com/verdict.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
I'd like to take a moment and have a real heart-to-heart with you. If you're able right now, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? That's your heartbeat telling you that you're alive. It's the same for a preborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks, it's already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. And that's why we've partnered with Preborn, because we need to help these precious babies. Every day, Preborn's networks of clinics rescue 200 babies from abortion. When a mother with an unplanned pregnancy meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine encounter. That doubles a baby's chances at life. And by 6 weeks, the eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her own thumb. And for just $28, you could be the difference between life or death of a child. All gifts are tax deductible, and I want you to donate. All you have to do is just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby. You can also donate securely at preborn.com/verdict. That's preborn.com/verdict or #250 and say the keyword baby. Now on to story number two. Senator, I want to move to another issue. There was an issue, an interview, I should say, that happened on Sunday. A lot of people don't watch 60 Minutes anymore, but the Mexican president did do a sit-down interview, and it actually took a couple days until anyone noticed it, which was, I think, the most unique part of this, first off. And then what he said, it was diplomatic blackmail, as it's been described by many, as the Mexican president said that the flow of illegal immigrants will continue unless the U.S. meets some of his new demands. In an interview, he was asked about the flow of not just illegals, but also drugs coming across the southern border. And here's what the president of Mexico said about America.
He thinks you have the power in this moment to slow down migration. Do you plan to?
We do, and want to continue doing it. But we do want for the root causes to be attended to, for them to be seriously looked at.
With the ear of the White House, President Lopez Obrador proposed his fix, that the United States commit $20 billion a year to poor countries in Latin America and the Caribbean, lift sanctions on Venezuela, end the Cuban embargo, and legalize millions of law-abiding Mexicans living in the U.S.
If they don't do the things that you've said need to be done, then what?
The flow of migrants will continue.
Your critics have said what you're doing or what you're asking for to help secure the border is diplomatic blackmail. What do you say?
I'm speaking frankly. We have to say things as they are.
Senator, there's like five different things I want to discuss with you. Let's just start with number one. This is diplomatic blackmail. $20 billion a year. And if you give me $20 billion a year and then you allow all the illegal immigrants to become citizens in your country that are there, then you give what we want with Cuba and Venezuela. And then if you keep giving us $20 billion a year, we might stop the flow of fentanyl coming across the southern border. This is extortion on a level that I can't even get my head around from Mexico.
Well, look, of course it is. And the Mexican president, everyone calls him AMLO. AMLO is short for his full name, which is Andrés Manuel López Obrador. He is a thug. He is a hard leftist. He's been a hard leftist his entire life. He has been vocally and viciously anti-American his entire life. That has been, that's how he got elected. That was his campaign standing up against the Yankee imperialists to the north. That's who he is. And by the way, notice his demands. His demands are end the embargo against Cuba and end the sanctions against Venezuela. He's standing with communist dictators in Cuba and Venezuela. That's who he aligns himself with, is the hard left, anti-American, communist axis through Latin America. That's who AMLO is. So it's not surprising. That's who he's always been. Now, that being said, is he trying to extort America? Of course. Is the threat that the flow of migrants will continue unless you pay us off $20 billion a year to Latin American countries? It's kind of like, you know, a mob enforcer. Nice little bar you got here. Shame if something happened to it. Boy, a fire would do real damage. He's saying, well, we'll keep these migrants coming unless you pay us off. Just, you know, a bag of cash each week would be good. I'll send my guys to pick it up. Yes, that's exactly what he's trying to do.
Well, but it's almost like, is there a difference between the president of Mexico and the cartels of Mexico? Because the way he was talking seems like the same type of conversation you'd have with the narcos.
Well, and by the way, AMLO, one of the problems is his government has very much been in bed with the narcos, and it is devastating the nation of Mexico. The people of Mexico are facing murders. They're facing kidnapping. They're facing enormous violence from these multi-billion dollar global criminal cartels that AMLO has facilitated. But I'm going to say something that's going to surprise you. I'm actually not terribly upset that AMLO's doing that. That's who he is. That's, you know, it's like
brand is what you're saying. It's not like he's betraying us. This is who he is.
He is an anti-American leftist who is going to behave like a thug. He is just like Nicolas Maduro. He is just like the Chavistas in Venezuela. He's just like the Castristas, Fidel Castro, and all of their progeny in Cuba. And that's who he is. But you know why I'm actually not all that worked up about what he said?
Why is that?
Because Joe Biden wants him to say this. Understand, this crisis at our southern border is not because of AMLO. Like his comment, you could stop it, couldn't you? And well, yes, but pay us money for us to stop it. Understand, Joe Biden doesn't want it to stop. Chuck Schumer doesn't want it to stop. The Democrats don't want it to stop. The 10.4 million illegal immigrants, they're glad of them. They want more. They want 10 million to become 20 million, to become 30 million. Those they view as future Democrat voters. And so AMLO, listen, you know, do you get mad when a little like yapping dog comes and yaps at the door? No, AMLO's going to scream, so what? If we had a president, I'll tell you, when Donald Trump was president, AMLO was terrified of him. Utterly and completely terrified. And by the way, AMLO actually did a pretty good job when Trump was president because he was so afraid. Let's pause and ask, how did we secure the border under Trump? What happened? And I'll tell you what happened. Trump threatened AMLO. And what he said is, you either help us secure the border, or I'm going to impose, I, Donald J. Trump, I'm going to impose a 25% tariff on everything coming out of Mexico. And AMLO ran screaming. It terrified him because he believed Trump would do it. It wasn't an empty threat. And he was terrified. And what happened? Number one, AMLO put 6,000 troops on Mexico's southern border. You know, remember the shape of Mexico. Mexico is much more narrow at the south than it is at the north. At the north, Mexico has a 2,000-mile border with the United States. At the south, their border is much, much smaller. AMLO put 6,000 soldiers on their southern border to stop the flow. And critically, because of Trump's threat, AMLO agreed to the Remain in Mexico agreement. What was Remain in Mexico? It said, anyone that crossed illegally into Mexico, and most of the people coming at that time and now were not Mexicans. They were from elsewhere. At the time, they were mostly from Central and South America. Remain in Mexico said they would stay in Mexico. These illegal immigrants would remain in Mexico while their U.S. asylum case was proceeding. And what happened when suddenly people paid cartels thousands of dollars, traveled all the way north, and discovered, holy cow, I don't get to come into America. I'm stuck in Mexico. I can't cross over. The numbers plummeted to the lowest rate in 45 years. So when AMLO says this, by the way, the instant Joe Biden became president, the numbers skyrocketed because Biden is weak. AMLO isn't afraid of him. AMLO isn't scared at all. And actually, everything AMLO is threatening, Joe Biden and every other Democrat in Congress wants him to do that.
It's almost like he's empowered to say this because he's actually backed up by the American policy. That's what you're telling us.
That is exactly right. That he's doing what they know he'll do. Look, Marxist gonna Marxist. That's who they are. He is going to engage in anti-American rhetoric. The only thing he responds to is strength. This Biden White House is not capable of strength against leftists, against enemies of America. They're only capable of strength against our friends. They're only capable of undermining allies of America. But because AMLO is a leftist, just like in Cuba, they're communist, just like in Venezuela, they're communist, just like Lula in Brazil is an anti-American leftist, just like Petro in Colombia is an anti-American leftist. Every anti-American leftist, this administration gives everything they want, and usually they want to give them money. So when actually AMLO's saying, lift the Cuban embargo, you know what? Biden White House wants to lift the Cuban embargo. When AMLO says, end the sanctions against Venezuela, you know what? Biden wants to end the sanctions against Venezuela. This is, they are, to use the old communist phrase, they are fellow travelers.
You mentioned the drug aspect of this, and I want you to hear what he had to say and everybody listening, because there's zero compassion. The number one killer, 49 under in this country, is fentanyl in this nation. More than anything else, that's what's killing us. And he was asked about the drugs, and he kind of mocked America and laughed at America's demise when it comes to drugs and the deaths that are happening. Take a listen.
The head of the DEA says cartels are mass producing fentanyl, and the U.S. State Department has said that most of it is coming out of Mexico. Are they wrong?
Sí.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Or rather, they don't have all the information, because fentanyl is also produced in the United States.
The State Department says most of it's coming from Mexico.
Fentanyl is produced in the United States, in Canada, and in Mexico, and the chemical precursors come from Asia. You know why we don't have the drug consumption that you have in the United States? Because we have customs, traditions, and we don't have the problem of the disintegration of the family.
But there is drug consumption in Mexico.
But very little.
So why the violence then in Mexico?
Because drug trafficking exists, but not the consumption.
I mean, he's laughing when he gives the last answer there. Like, he's smiling and smirking when he's like, haha, this is hilarious. Like, I can't believe you guys are even asking me these questions.
Well, look, that's exactly right. And he's lying when he's suggesting that fentanyl is manufactured in large quantities in the United States. The vast majority of what is killing Americans is being manufactured in Mexico. Now, he's right that the precursors are coming from China. It's the Chinese communists who are sending it to Mexico. It's the Mexican drug cartels who are manufacturing it, and they're smuggling it over the border. There's some fentanyl production in the United States, but it is very minor compared to the volume coming from Mexico. He knows that. But this is, and by the way, understand the total volume. Last year, over 100,000 Americans died of drug overdoses. 70% of that, over 70,000, was from fentanyl. And the vast majority of that was Chinese fentanyl manufactured in Mexico by the Mexican drug cartels. And AMLO is saying, sadly, with Biden's blessing and the Democrats' blessing, we're going to keep it flowing.
As before, if you want to hear the rest of this conversation on this topic, you can go back and download the podcast from early this week to hear the entire thing. 2/3 of Americans are at risk of experiencing a blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. Folks say this new solar generator from Four Patriots is worth its weight in gold. Why? Because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer. or other devices like your electric blanket, your microwave, your RV, air conditioner, or even an electric wheelchair. You also get 12 outlets, including 4 AC outlets, so you can power more devices at once. And 2 USB-C outlets, which can charge your phone 20 times faster than a regular plug. Best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to the number 4, patriots.com/verdict to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included for free. Go right now to the number 4, patriots.com/verdict.
High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
I'd like to take a moment and have a real heart-to-heart with you. If you're able right now, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? That's your heartbeat telling you that you're alive. It's the same for a preborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks, it's already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. And that's why we've partnered with Preborn, because we need to help these precious babies. Every day, Preborn's networks of clinics rescue 200 babies from abortion. When a mother with an unplanned pregnancy meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine encounter. That doubles a baby's chances at life. And by 6 weeks, the eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her own thumb. And for just $28, you could be the difference between life or death of a child. All gifts are tax deductible, and I want you to donate. All you have to do is just dial #250. And say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby. You can also donate securely at preborn.com/verdict. That's preborn.com/verdict or #250 and say the keyword baby. I want to get back to the big story number 3 of the week you may have missed.
If you were up for re-election right now, running as a Republican for mayor.
Yes.
Your policies haven't changed. The only thing that's changed is a D went to an
R. Correct.
Could you win?
I'd win overwhelmingly. I don't have any doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I'll tell you why I believe that. I'll tell you why. I'm glad someone finally asked me that on the record. You know, that's sort of the chatter as well.
That's why I asked it, because you know they're going to say, oh, well, this guy could never win. That's why he waited till the end of his term to then switch parties.
So here's the reality that people have to ignore to even make that argument, but I understand why people need to make it. I mean, I told someone, I said, you know, you don't switch parties in a two-party system from one to the other and think the other party's going to say, well, you know, we wish him the best, he was great, and it's our loss. You know, they got to come up with something. And this is these are the kinds of arguments they've come up with. But here's the reality. I won my last election with, it wasn't 93%, Dallas City, you know, has ordinances about how write-in candidates get on the ballot. And if you write in a name other than the actual write-in candidate's name that's there, you just essentially didn't vote. You threw your vote, your ballot in the trash. Of the cast votes, which were canvassed by the city and are the official records of the city, 98.7% of the vote. That's Democrats and Republicans in that group. That's a pretty hearty endorsement of the incumbent mayor. And I didn't run with a D or an R behind my name. I ran just with, you know, as Eric Johnson, because you don't run in Texas in any city with a D or an, for folks who aren't from Texas. We don't actually have partisan elections in Texas for mayor. You just run, and you don't run with a party support. Now, what do I think would have actually happened if I had just come out and said 6 months before the election, I'm actually a Republican? Here's what would have happened. Some Democrats would have gotten together and said, well, this is an opportunity for us to run an ostensibly just overtly partisan candidate. We're going to do something that's never been done in Dallas before, which is to just make it partisan, like to say, okay, we got an R running, and now we're going to run a D against him. The problem is that the R you're talking about for 4 years, well enough to clear the field and win with 98.7% of the vote, but that didn't happen yet. So let's just go back and say a Republican has been that effective, who happens to also be African-American and supported by the African-American community, we think that that person would lose simply by saying, I've become a Republican. I think what happens is I won the first race in a contested 9-person field that it went to a runoff with 12% of the vote. I won, 56-44. I think that goes down to the normal, pretty solid win of a, 54-53% win. But I still win. There's no question I still win that race because I'm the incumbent at that point. No incumbent mayor, if we've had Republican and Democrat mayors before, by the way. No incumbent mayor seeking re-election in Dallas has ever lost. Ever.
All right, so let me ask a final question, which is, you have started now a national organization,
yes,
the Republican Mayors Association, and you have been out articulating that Republicans need to have an agenda for the cities, that we can't just write off big cities where an awful lot of Americans live. And I think that's a very important message. It's something, and I want to ask you, what's your vision for the message Republicans should have in the cities, and how do we end up with a lot more Republican mayors of big cities? What's the path forward there?
I said this in the Wall Street Journal, and I meant it. It's a two-way benefit for America and for our party. America needs the leadership that Republicans provide at the local level because of the things we talked about just a few minutes ago. A Republican mayor is going to, because it's part of the DNA of the party, is going to be right on law and order issues, going to be right on public safety. People who've asked me about that, I've said, let me just quiz you very quickly. Every bad idea you can think of about public safety came from one side of the aisle. There's not even a mixed bag on this issue. If it's a bad idea when it comes to public safety, defund the police, don't prosecute shoplifters, whatever, Republicans don't propose ideas that undermine law and order. Not every Democrat believes them, but they only emanate from the Democrats.
Yep.
That's just a factual statement. So a Republican's going to be right on law and order and public safety. A Republican mayor is going to be right on taxes. A Republican mayor ought to be right on infrastructure spending and investing prudently. And there's studies that show, that have proven that you actually have lower debt levels and you issue less debt when you have a Republican mayor versus a Democrat. When an MIT professor actually studied this and concluded that it is a statistically significant different level of debt associated with a city when there's a Republican in charge and a Democrat in charge. So we actually need Republicans running our major cities because 80% of Americans live in the cities. By 2050, that number is going to be 90%. So the country actually needs the leadership. But I'm actually telling you, as a group of partisans, we actually have to pay attention to this. And I think we have to pay attention to it because I, in my heart of hearts, believe that by being competitive in the cities, by basically re-engaging, because we were once engaged. There was a Republican Mayors Association at one time. It had a similar name. It was like the Republican Conference. It was during the Ford administration. And at some point, we just lost interest in competing at that level, and it sort of just faded away. But it was very active at one time, and we were more competitive in our cities at one time. We need to get more competitive there again because the margin of victory at the state level, in states like Wisconsin, in states like Michigan,
yep,
states like Pennsylvania,
yep,
is the difference between performing at the city level in, you ready, Madison, Green Bay, and in Detroit, and in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh by just 5 or 10 percentage points better. So in other words, engaging in the cities in a more significant way and having the GOP brand associated with the things we're talking about at the local level, it doesn't take that many votes, and now all of a sudden the whole state is no longer lock, stock, and barrel going one direction because of the advantage that's been run up in the cities. You've cut into the advantage that the cities have.
You know, Eric, I'll tell you on that point. So Heidi and I met 25 years ago when we were both working on the George W. Bush campaign in 2000, the presidential campaign. And actually, in that campaign, you know, I was a young 29-year-old staffer, but I wrote a memo urging that the campaign consider at the time Condoleezza Rice as a VP nominee. And in the course of the memo, I laid out all sorts of reasons why I thought this was worth considering carefully. But one of the things I did is I did an electoral analysis. I looked at the three preceding presidential elections, and I posited a series of hypotheticals. I said, what would have happened if Republicans had gotten 5% more, 10% more, or 15% more of the African American and Hispanic vote? So I didn't posit, what if we get 50% more? I did 5, 10, or 15. So goals that were achievable, I believe. And I ran through the numbers, and the one that was most, that stood out the most, was if Republicans had gotten an additional 15% of the African American and Hispanic vote in 1996, Republicans would have won an additional 96 electoral votes. I mean, it flips the election dramatically. But to do that, we've got to compete.
It's a whole different national conversation about the competitiveness of this party if we are a factor at the city level.
Yep.
Because it's just where so many people are concentrated, it's getting harder and harder to figure out how to win elections where we're just not even playing there. I mean, we ought to be competing in every major city where we're currently just sort of saying, you know, a Democrat hasn't won. I mean, a Republican hasn't won there in a long time, so let's not try. We just flipped, just in this last cycle, the current mayor of, I believe it's Charleston, South Carolina,
yep,
is now a Republican. They hadn't elected a Republican mayor in Charleston in like 175 years. So it can happen. It can be done. You have to run the right candidate. He was a former legislator like I was, mm-hmm, and he ran a great campaign. Now they've got a Republican mayor. So what's going to happen next is he's going to do a good job. And when he does a good job, these people who've been voting for Democrat mayors for 175 years are going to say, you know what, Republicans are in charge, the city just seems to be, it's safer. We hire more cops and crime goes down. And you know what, the taxes go down. And you know, things are just better. The brand means something to them at the local level, and not just, the brand will always have a federal aspect to it. It'll always have a state aspect to it. But right now, in this party, we're missing a brand at the local level. It doesn't mean anything right now at the local level. And we get to decide what it means. And I'm saying we should be running solid conservatives at the local level, winning elections, running cities well, and then that makes people at the local level go, yeah, I'm actually a Republican. I love my Republican mayor, and so I'm a Republican. And that has benefits for people running for U.S. Senate, running for president, running for governor. But we are right now just aren't doing anything. I mean, I was shocked to find that there was no one even in this lane. I wasn't even stepping on anybody's toes by doing this.
Well, let me say, Eric, I appreciate you. I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your leadership. And I appreciate your joining us on the Verdict Podcast.
Appreciate that, man.
As always, thank you for listening to Verdict with Senator Ted Cruz, Ben Ferguson with you. Don't forget to download my podcast, and you can listen to my podcast every other day you're not listening to Verdict, or each day when you listen to Verdict afterwards. I'd love to have you as a listener to, again, the Ben Ferguson podcast, and we will see you back here on Monday morning.
High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Two-thirds of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer. And best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to the number 4, patriots.com/verdict to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included for free. Go right now to the number 4, patriots.com/verdict. So a couple years ago, I hit 40 years old, and man, did things change. I didn't have the same strength and vitality that I had before, and I didn't have what I wanted, and that was the ability to work out and have a blast doing it. So then the pounds started packing on. Well, thank goodness I found Chalk, C-H-O-Q, and they're helping real American men just like you maximize your masculinity by boosting your testosterone levels up to 20% over 90 days. Now, I've been taking the Chalk Vitality Stack for over a year now, and not only am I working out, I've now lost 50 pounds. So if you're ready to maximize your masculinity today, go to Chalk, C-H-O-Q.com, and use promo code Ben for a massive discount on any Chalk subscription for life. C-H-O-Q.com, code Ben, limited time offer. Subscription is cancelable at any time. Chalk.com.